Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Undiscovered Worlds. I am Ryan. That over there is Maria. And guys, the topic for today is going to be clothes. So as you know, we scour the internet. Well, we pick a topic or we take a suggestion from you guys, scour the internet, find all the cool stuff we can find about it, and we'll bring it to you here. Mar, what were your thoughts on this one?
It was actually a lot of fun because the first thought that you have when you think of clothing is, oh, they're going to talk about fashion or... And not at all. Like, there was one or two things I found about perhaps fashion, but the rest were just cool little things that I didn't know. So I hope you like what I picked.
Okay.
So the winner
started with what you picked?
Yes, I do.
You were starting, right? Right
as I said. Yes, I am.
You were starting. Okay.
I'm going for it.
Do it.
So the winner of this particular choice award was actually an Oscar. So I'm beginning with winning things.
Okay.
So, Pixar's John Lasseter.
Okay.
He was given an Oscar or several Oscars, and they asked him how he kept them. And he said, "We discovered that Barbie clothing actually fit pretty well."
That's what I did with my Oscars. Like, they're in the other room. I put little, like, Ken outfits on them and stuff. Okay, I don't have any Oscars.
You mean that's the name of your blender?
Right. I pulled my blender. Okay, we're off the rails already, guys, at 1.5 minutes.
Now, guys, the reason I say that, and there's actually a reason, in many countries, they actually do put clothing on, you like a pot, not pots and pans, but like the blender, the toaster, they do put stuff on them. So it wasn't at least in Colombia they do.
Okay, all right. So you got like doilies, so like decorate little like cup holders for moisture, but then you have like decorated blenders and stuff. Okay, all right, that's a thing, guys. I've never seen that before, but I believe her. I found this one interesting because most of us, we pick our clothes because it basically reflects our style. It reflects something about us or where we're at that point in our life. But I didn't realize that actually our clothing choices actually affect our emotional states. So they reflect us, but they also affect our emotional states, which I had no idea, which makes sense, I guess. You kind of, you're feeling kind of gloomy, you wear the black or you get bundled up or... So think about that next time, guys. Maybe if you're not feeling particularly fancy or you're just having a down day, put on kind of a party outfit or something that kind of you might be able to pick your mood up by going opposite with your clothing of what you're kind of intending.
I actually have done that.
Okay.
When I know I had some health issues and I knew I was going to get really bad news or something like that, I would actually dress up. I'm not necessarily with sparkly dress, but it was a dress that gave me like strength, like I feel really good, like very business-like. When it came to bad news, I will dress up very business-like because then I felt like my logic side of my brain was taking over the emotional, and I felt like I was prepared to deal with the challenge as if I were to go to work and pick up a challenge.
Well, it's also like a hack too, because they say if you have a hard time like getting motivated to work out, when you wake up in the morning, put your gym clothes on because those are what you wear when you work out. So now those are already on. And then you're more apt to actually like whatever you do in the morning and then go to the gym because you're already wearing the clothes. So I guess that all kind of slides together. Never thought about that.
Literally slides together. Perfect.
Yes.
So speaking of activities and jobs and getting the workout done, I actually found something really cool. Why scarecrows actually work. And this is something that I heard you mention in the past about scarecrows. They're frightened. Scarecrows are designed to scare birds, okay? But it's not because of the humanoid that it represents, but it actually has to do with the odor the clothing emits, the odor that reminds the animal of there's a human. So you're supposed to change scarecrow's clothing very often after it rains or after a little bit, because rain and wind will dissipate the smell. Now, this also had to do with in the past, people didn't bathe all the time. So the clothing did gather a little bit of a scent stronger than we have right now.
Gotcha. Okay. And then if you guys don't know, if you actually line dry clothes, basically it kind of sanitizes them because the sun has properties that actually helps break down stuff within the clothing. But then that's the flip side. When you put it on a scarecrow, it's going to break down that stuff fast also. So you do have to kind of keep changing it if you want it to be effective.
I have
not that you have scarecrows in your backyards, but just in case you know a farmer that's just wondering, why is my scarecrow not working today? Then you can tell him.
It's not working today. It's Sunday. Took the day off.
Right. Okay, let's see. Okay, I wanted to kind of do a little myth busting here because I'm not a big fan of moths. I don't have anything against moths, but just I like my clothes. So when I see a moth, I assume that my clothes are the next thing on the menu. But it's actually not the moths that are eating your clothes. It's actually the larvae. So when they have their babies and their eggs and stuff, the larvae are eating your clothes. I assume for some form of nutrition so they can develop and do what they need to do. So it's not just getting rid of that one moth may not have actually helped you, basically, is what I'm
saying. And I wonder if it has also to do, they're attracted if you wear something and put it back on the rack. Like how there are times when you just wear something for an hour, you went out and came back, but you just went out to dinner, you didn't work out. I wonder if our scent, whether you think of it or not, we still are sweating, our skin still releases dead cells. And I wonder if that's also what attracts them. So therefore they end up digging a hole, because we do have minerals in our skin. It's just an speculation. I have absolutely no idea.
Okay. Interesting. I'm a guy, you know, we just wear something and we don't have a time limit. We have a sniff test. So I wore this for an hour. It's like clean. All right, let's do it. That's
that's how I think you'll be surprised how many people actually do that.
Yes. Good old sniff test.
So I have something that is kind of gross besides the sniff test you just talked about.
Okay.
So tablecloths. The reason why tablecloths were part of the table attire had to do not necessarily with protecting the table and the wood. Oh, no, no. No, no. Tablecloths were originally meant to serve as towels in which guests could wipe their hands after dinner. So instead of each person having a little piece of a cloth, they had the entire bottom to clean their hands with and faces. And in an etiquette writer in a book, an etiquette writer in the 1840s, that's a bit ago, in the 1840s, he advised that ladies may wipe their lips on the tablecloth, but they cannot or should not blow their noses on it.
Okay. All right.
Imparting some wisdom.
All right.
MA Post style.
I'm going to stay a little old school. I'm going to go with that theme then. And corduroy. Corduroy, the material, actually comes from the French. Cord, like cordon bleu. Du and roy, which basically translates to cloth of the king. I can never see royalty wearing like corduroy shorts. I can't picture this. It's not working out for me. But jeans, we all think of Levi and stuff, but Levi's the one that kind of made jeans popular, but not the material itself. Are actually named after Genoa, Italy, which is where the first denim cloth was actually made.
And what I heard is they were designed for workers, for miners, for like hard worker, because the fabric is so thick and will protect you really well. So there's an expression that we all know that is called tying the knot. When you think of tying the knot, you think of marriage. Well, tying the knot has something to do with clothing. The expression actually comes from an old Roman custom where the bride's clothes were tied up in knots and the groom was supposed to untie them.
Okay.
So the custom of tying the knots had to do with tying the bride's clothing.
Untie them after they were married, or if it was like a practical exam of like, could this guy actually be a good laborer and maybe support me? Oh, you successfully untied the knots. Okay, now we shall marry. I'm guessing it's probably
I guess it's after, because if you're tying the knot, it must be the custom once you're deciding to get married. Is he worth it or not?
Okay. I found this one interesting. Zimbabwe actually prohibits civilians from wearing or possessing camouflage clothing. It's for military and police purposes only.
Which you will think it should be.
It should be, but prohibits is the interesting part. I mean, it's you're not even allowed to have it. I thought
interesting. So I have something more of the gaseous.
Yes. All right.
Gaseous situation going on here. So I don't know if you ever wonder about this or not, but I'm always overthinking things. And I always wonder, how would you ruin a sterile environment? Like if you're trying to, like if you're going some, let's say you work at a research lab and you ate beans and the magical fruit is acting up. Don't worry about it. You are not going to compromise the sterility of the environment if the beans are acting up. The clothing will keep it safe. It's okay, everybody who wondered about that.
Okay. I'm going to throw it in here just in case you don't watch it. In a couple of weeks, we've got an astronaut video that's coming up, and I was doing my research, and their diet is very limited because if you pass gas in a suit, it actually will degrade the integrity of the suit. So astronauts are specifically not allowed beans and several other foods for safety purposes in their
That one went
in perfectly. That was a couple of weeks though on the astronauts video, guys. But, a preview. Okay. Now this video isn't necessarily about hacks at the airport, but I have a lot of hacks that I use at the airport. I tend to travel places and I need to bring a bunch of stuff because I'm going to be there for a while, like 6+ months. And what a lot of people don't know is they almost never, I've never had my carry-on bag weighed ever.
Knock on wood.
So what I do, knock on wood. So usually what I do is like, I had like a microphone stand with like a metal base that alone weighed like 7 pounds. Anything heavy that I know will make it through security. So this doesn't work for liquids. Actually, you can't take peanut butter, surprisingly. That counts as like a liquid or a paste.
It's a gel. I mean, yeah.
A gel, yeah. So anything heavy I put in my carry-on bag. And like, I've had it to the point where my carry-on bag was like 30 pounds. Not my carry-on, like my personal item. I bring 2 backpacks. One's a personal item and one's my carry-on item. And I can load both of them up with like 30 pounds a piece. Like if you kind of know what you're doing. And I always thought that was creative. Every once in a while, if I'm right on the weight limit, I'll take stuff out of my bag and I'll put it on. Like I carry, like I wear my heavy jackets. I don't pack my heavy jackets because then you're eating up all your weight for your check bags. Well, this guy in a Chinese airport decided to take my hacks one step further. And he wore 70 items of clothing so he could avoid his baggage charges.
Wow. I wonder how hot he must have gotten inside.
I don't know.
All those layers.
Yeah. Well, see, the thing is you just have to get there, though. Like, once you're on the plane, you could just start taking them off if you really wanted to. I mean, there's not like a, oh, well, sir, now you have an extra carry. Like, but still, absolutely insane. 70 items of clothing.
Wow. So if you see a critter in your items of clothing, do not brush it away. Like, if you see a spider crawling around any of your clothes, your closet, actually don't brush it away. And the reason being is, according to a myth or a superstition, you're getting new clothes.
Okay.
Seems like spiders in many cultures are like good luck and prosperity.
Okay, so don't brush it away. Just throw that whole item of clothing away because you'll be getting new ones.
I guess so. Just make sure this no spiders are harmed in the process.
Okay. oh, this is hilarious. Love this. In 2008, North Face, like the winter clothing, like outdoors company, actually sued a clothing company called the South Butt. Because of its name, obviously, North Face, South Butt, opposites. Yeah.
That is awesome. So in Marie Curie, she did a lot of research in radioactivity and things like that. And apparently her clothing to this date is highly radioactive. And to access them, you need to actually sign a waiver and wear protective clothing. To, I don't know why you want to look at her clothing or, I mean, touch it, but still very radioactive to this day.
her books and stuff are too. That's actually a big part of what you do it for. You dress up in the clothing because you want to go see her actual books and her research and stuff like that. So, and her clothing happened to be part of that. Like,
incredible.
Yep. Okay. Oh, I found this one. Okay. So the sap of the banana plant leaves serious stains on hands and clothes.
Yes.
It is extremely hard to remove. Yet, banana plants have been used to make clothes for hundreds of years in Japan. Can you explain this? How does this work, Maria?
It's the fibers. It's the fibers.
Dry the banana fibers before you make clothes out of them? Like, I just felt.
Yeah, I'm sure you will have to wash it. Like, you have to literally, like what you do with bamboo fibers or with, if you ever actually have a sugar cane, they squeeze it. And you end up with no juice, but you end up with the fibers. I'm sure that's what they do, is they literally extract the fibers and use them. Because they use also coconut fibers to make clothing. Coconut is extremely versatile.
But it's not a sticky sap that stains. I feel like if something is, A, sticky saps are hard to get rid of to begin with. And then it stains naturally. Yet you're going to then take that material and make clothes. I just thought that was a little strange. You guys can back me up or call me stupid in the comments. I thought that... They were like, what? Pick another like medium to make your clothes out of. I don't know.
Yeah, I did hear about the banana plants. So I totally hear you. I always wonder about that. But it is, if it's a good fiber, why not?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So there was an old hack that people used to do. Please don't ever, ever, ever do this. But if you ever go to the Old Faithful Geyser in Yellowstone National Park, apparently, people used to do their laundry in it. They used to throw the clothing in the geyser and then wait for it to erupt. Okay. The clothing will be washed.
And then whatever piece of clothing you ran underneath and like fit you, then that was yours. And then it was just like a mishmash. Everybody take what you want. I feel like finding your clothes wouldn't be worth the amount of time you may have saved by the geyser washing it.
I agree with you. But I guess all the... the agitation of the water. I'm sure the clothing ended up with a couple of holes too.
It's really hot though. And that's the thing. Like hot water gets out certain stains and cleans better. But back then, I mean, there's still places around the world that don't even have a hot water line hooked up to the washers. It's just a cold water line. So
yeah, in many parts of Colombia, people don't necessarily use hot water. They may not even have, nowadays most people do, especially in the cities. But I remember growing up, cold water for everything. We had the tank and stuff to take a hot shower, but we actually never did.
Yeah. So here's a hack for you guys. If you end up in one of those places in the world, you take your bathroom trash bin that you have and you empty it out, and then you go to your sink, because usually the sinks will have hot water. There's just for some reason not a hot water line for the washing machines. And then you just fill your trash can up with hot water, and then you just dump it into the washer, and you can kind of cheat that way if you really need to get out, like, what is it, blood stains, and certain stains that come out really well with hot water. Oh, it's the other way around. That's cold water. I don't know my stains, guys. If you have stain removal tips, please feel free to write them in the comments below.
Yes, there are actually some really good ones, but if something has a stain, no hot, nothing hot. Like, don't put something in the dryer because it will set the stain. So I don't wash anything on hot water.
Okay. I was actually grew up learning that like hot water gets rid of certain stains. Like I think grass stains are better removed with hot water. Like there's certain settings.
That's the case.
Yeah. Certain washing machines even have like, they'll say what it is, like oil stains, and they'll have like an oil stain setting. And it doesn't even tell you if it's hot water, warm water, cold water. It's just like oil stains, and you hit it and it does what it's supposed to do. The washing machine's smarter than I am. It's too unfortunate.
Technology, I tell you.
I can't know everything. Oh, who's up, Marmar? Who's up?
I think I am because you gave something about... No, because I was talking about geysers, so it's your turn.
Okay. All right. I'm going to talk about girlsers since you just did geysers. No, just kidding. People used to believe... Here's another one, guys, that I don't get. Somebody help me out with this one. People used to believe that smearing their clothes with fat from a dead pig would keep away fleas. But now you smell like fat and have dirty clothes. I don't get this.
fleas, okay, to get rid of fleas.
Yes, yes. So apparently smelling horribly and being dirty is much preferable to having fleas around.
Huh. That's an interesting one.
Yes. This could have been in the Dark Ages or during the plague or something, but they didn't know it was fleas that were doing it during the plague, so I can't let them off the hook there. Anybody has any theories?
Yeah, go for it.
I can't wait till we start doing live shows, because then people can just chime in immediately, and then we can
I love that.
Forth, and we can start sorting these things out, because I have questions. I don't want to go down a rabbit hole looking for answers sometimes, so I just bring it up, and then you guys do with the information what you will.
Love it. Plus, if you research 20 things and then try, it just takes forever. It's more fun to say the fact and then have someone help develop it.
Yeah, and then we get more stuff out. Because if we were to, like, break it all down, we get, like, 10 facts out opposed to, like, 20 plus. So.
Exactly. So speaking of traditional, it is traditional to wear white for a funeral in India. And widows still often wear white in contrast to the colorful clothing that married or single women wear. I thought that was very interesting, because usually you think black equals.
Yeah, but in places in Africa, it's the same way too. The Wakanda Forever, they do that. The funeral scene, everybody's wearing white for T'Challa's funeral. So I didn't give any way plot spoilers away there, guys. but yeah, different cultures, different colors signify different things. We always think black for funerals, but Africa, India, and other places actually wear white.
And in other countries, in older times, and I'm talking Victorian era, Renaissance, and stuff like that, brides will actually wear black.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you just kind of choose as the eras evolve.
And the funny thing is, it could still represent the same emotion, because maybe they just feel like when they're getting married, that's the end for them. And then so it's the black references like unhappiness.
Actually, no. I was seeing it as the end of an old age. To me, black is such an elegant color. But in many countries, like here in the U.S., I noticed that wearing black to a wedding, like if somebody wears black to a wedding, is perceived as a really, like really bad. And I was surprised because in Colombia, at least, if it's an evening wedding, black is the most elegant color.
Yeah, it's a cultural thing. It's a cultural thing. But speaking of cultural things and fashion faux pas, I'm going to shoot one down right now. Socks and sandals are okay, everybody. Okay, socks with sandals is okay. And here's my backup proof for this one. The oldest surviving pair of socks were found in Egypt from ancient Egyptian times. And the socks were actually designed specifically to wear with sandals. So there's a longer history of socks with sandals than our new tradition of, like, never mix socks and sandals. So you guys do whatever you want to do out there.
You are okay. That is awesome. Another thing that people believe when we talk about history and our perception of what people wear or how they're portrayed through movies, actually pilgrims didn't all wear black and white clothing with buckled top hats. Like, that's actually a myth.
Yeah,
that they keep portraying, and I don't know why.
Yeah, like, where did this even come from? Like, come on.
I think it was just the easiest way to classify what happened when people maybe came to the U.S. So when I think of Thanksgiving, or when I think of the pilgrims, then they're all the same, so it's easier to have that image.
Right. I don't have any quizzes for this show, Mar, so I'm going to keep going with a few more facts. Do you have quizzes you want to get in towards the end here?
Actually, I didn't, because everything was just so fun that I didn't come up with quizzes. In fact, I think the wedding was the only one I had, and I ended up telling it to you because I mixed it.
Mm-hmm. If this is your first show, guys, usually what we do towards the end of the show is we'll do, like, trivia questions. And it's for the audience, and then we'll try to answer also. And then we'll kind of give clues. So it's kind of like a fun, like, Family Feud Jeopardy-style thing.
Oh, actually, I do have a question.
Get more interactive. Okay, go ahead, Mar.
So, perfumes and colognes had a very particular purpose. Can you guess the purpose of the creation of these fragrances?
Okay, so sometimes I like to spout out a really ridiculous answer, and then sometimes I get it right. So I'm going to take a beat and let everybody out there take their guesses and have their moment with what they think colognes and perfumes were for. I mean, I feel like the obvious answer is just to cover up stench because people used to take like one shower a year. So I feel, but then if you guys have ever tried or smelled someone that puts perfume or cologne on to cover a bad smell, it just makes it worse. But I'm going to go with that as my guess to cover up odors due to lack of showering.
Very good. And there is actually a step forward to that.
Deeper. Oh, I got it.
Pardon?
I got it right.
Well, yeah, that's the most logical thing. Yes, of course you got it right. But
you're like, here's the obvious answer. This is what I want him to say, but this is the real answer.
No. That was a very good answer. And that is what I wanted you to say, because it is what we most of us think. But they also were developed during the plague.
Okay.
Because it was heavier. Not just, you haven't taken a shower in 2 weeks. Yeah. No, actually, that smells really pleasant compared to the situation they were dealing with. Gotcha. So actually had to do with that. And they were actually finding people were actually designing different flower essences that were perceived as actually fighting against contracting the plague. That had to do with a mixture of cloves and lavender and other spices that thieves have used to rob people.
Okay. Here's a child-rearing tip that I don't want you guys to ever follow. anybody watching from Borneo, I apologize. I understand this is your tradition, but it's just not a good idea. In Borneo, to stop babies from crying, the saw from a sawfish. You guys ever seen those? Like, it's got the little spines of a sawfish. You know what I'm talking about, Maria?
Yeah, a sawfish, and you're talking about the snout.
Literally, his snout is basically a saw. They would take the saw from a sawfish, and they would cover it in cloth and then hang it over a baby's cradle to stop it from crying. I guess the fear of impending doom was like, stop, I'm sorry, I'll stop.
I think actually that was the precursor to those hangy things that turn around.
Yeah.
The little critters and
those mobiles and stuff are much safer, I think. Maybe not for parent sanity with some of the sounds and stuff they make, but safer for the baby. Marty, you got one more fun one you want to share before we start heading out of here? Or maybe two? We might have time for two.
I have a tip really quickly. If you have pets, like, you know, we have Pepita who's guarding the door right now. Ghosts, I guess. If you have clothing, but you don't have a roller and you need to really get going really quickly and remove the pet hair, you can either use the washing clothes gloves, like when you wash, not clothing, but when you wash dishes, or you can actually wet a towel and just clean the hair. So just a quick tip right there.
All right. So I've got one more fun one since Maria, we all know Maria loves marketing on this channel. I love how this became your thing. I don't even know. You're not even that. I'm more into marketing than you are. But on this channel, somehow marketing became your thing. A guy named Steve Komisar actually sold a solar powered clothes dryer for $39.99. You want to take a guess what you got when you ordered your solar-powered clothes dryer,
Maria? I can. This is horrible.
Everybody take a second. Give it a thought.
Just go wild. Go wild with this one.
Mara, what's the answer?
I will think what he actually sold them was a rope or a little standing thing that looked like an umbrella and you can hang all your things there.
You just got a clothesline. You just got a string to hang up your clothes for your solar-powered clothes dryer. I thought that was fantastic.
That is awesome.
And again,
as soon as you said, I was like, oh, this is bad. This is going to be bad.
Like we were saying, if you dry your clothes outside, the sun does break down some of the elements and stuff within your clothing. But then again, they also don't snap back into shape. So I don't like line drying my clothes just because I feel like everything still stays a little stretched out. But that's just me. Guys, I hope you enjoyed the show. We always enjoy doing it. If you guys have any suggestions for topics and stuff that you would like us to do, write them in the comments. And if you haven't clicked the subscribe button already, guys, please do so. And if you're catching us on a podcast, whether it be Spotify, Apple, whatever, please give us a like, a follow, and write us a review. We love reading those, guys. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll catch you next time.
Bye, guys.